Shalom to all. Today's episode of Shalom Yivam Safchav Hey. We're starting right at the top with Halacha Yud, and today's episode sponsor Lili Nishmas Marshmim Sar Bas Biakam Moshe Hernish Amash Shada Haven Aliyah. So Misha says Shomer Siyam Shekish Alch Vazachaisa Shomer Siyavam that his brother was Makadish her sister Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Mimseir Amru. Then Rabbi Yehuda Mimseir they said Amru Mloy. They tell the one who's Makadish his sister Hamtein you have to wait Adi Asachichal Gadol Maisa until your older brother does a Maisa, meaning until he does Yibum, meaning until he does either Yibum or Chalitza. We've already discussed this previously. That's because he's being Makadish Achais Zikukasai. He's also Zakuk to the Yivam. But here he goes and is Makadish her sister. Now, the Zika Zibum doesn't prevent the Kedushin from working. However, we tell him you're still not allowed to marry her until the Yivam is taken care of. It's time we discuss a number of different cases. Chaltsu lo achin, let's say the brothers did Chalitza to the Yivama, oi, Kansu, or the Yibum. So, Yechazishtai, this other brother, Shimon, he's allowed to marry his wife, which is the sister. Now, Mesa Yivama, let's say the Yivama dies, Yechaz is also allowed to marry his wife. Now, let's say Mesa Yavam, the Yavam dies, which in this situation, there'd be only two brothers. It would be Reuven and Shimon. Shimon was Makadish the Yavama sister, and now the Yavam Reuven dies. So here we have the Yavama Rachel falling to Shimon, but Shimon's already engaged to her sister. Here's not allowed to stay with either of them. He has to divorce his wife, the one he gave Kedushin to, with a get, and the wife his brother, meaning the Yavama with Chalitza. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah only said that if the Yavama dies, so then he's allowed to marry his wife, which is her sister. But if his wife died, he's not allowed to marry his Yavama. That's because she was Asrat him at one point in time. Once he was Makadesh, his Yavama's sister, so now his Yavama's Asrat him. So even though the sister now died, he still has Asrat to marry the Yavama. However, Amar Rechon says that no, Zu Divir Belazar, that's only according to Belazar. Aval Divir Chacham, according to the Chachamim, it doesn't make a difference. Mesa Yavimtoi, Motor Be'ishtoi, Mesa Ishtoi, Motor Be'ivimtoi. If the Yavama died, he's allowed to marry his wife, or if his wife dies, he's allowed to marry his Yavama. Now, why would that be? So Amar Rechon, Divir Chachamim, according to the Chachamim, called Dar Shuba Machmas a Gairim, anything, meaning an Isser that's there because of a Gairim, because of a particular reason, so Batal. Gairim, batal Isser. If that Gairim, if the cause of the Isser is not here anymore, so that means the Isser is batal as well. And therefore, in this situation, when he was Makadish, the sister of the Yavama, so the cause of the Isser is the sister of the Yavama. Now, if that sister is not here anymore because she died, so he's allowed to marry the Yavama. However, Divir Blazar, Contra Blazar, Aval Pisha batal Gairim, Ha Isser Mkaimai. Even though the Gairim was batal, the Isser is still there, and therefore, he's not allowed to marry the Yavama, even though the sister died. And Al Chiral, the Mishnah tells as follows, Hayavama, Loy Tachos, Vaita Siabim, Ache, La Shlosh, Chadashim, Ayavama is not do chalitza or yibum until 3 months passes, and we already know this, we already discussed this previously. That's because we need 3 months for akaras ubar. We have to determine whether or not she's pregnant, and obviously if she's pregnant, we're not going to continue until we see if the child's viable. The Mishnah continues, v'chein shar kol anashim, also all other women, if their husbands die or divorce them, lo yinasu, they're not allowed to get fully married, that's nisuin, v'lo yisarsu, they're not allowed to even accept kiddushin, they're not allowed to do erusin, ad shiu lo shlosh chadashim, until they have 3 months pass from their previous husband. And this is achas besulis v'achas Be'ulais, whether Besula or Be'ulav, Achas Almanas, Achas Grushais, whether husband died or they divorced them, Achas Arusas, Vachas Nasuas, or they were just in Arusa in the previous marriage, or they were Nasu in the previous marriage. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that no, Hanasuas is Arsu. If the woman had left her first marriage as a Nasua, she was fully married, so then she's only allowed to become an Arusa without having to wait 3 months, whereas Varusais, Yunasu. If the woman left her previous marriage as an Arusa, she was only halachically engaged, she had accepted Kiddushin, but she never went through Nisuin, so then these women are allowed to get fully married because they can't possibly be pregnant due to the fact they were only Arusas in the previous marriage. Chutz min Arusa Shebihuda, except for an Arusa in the area of Eretz Yisrael called Yehuda, Mnei Shaliba Gaspa, because over there, Arusa and Arusa were very close. Often they would be miyached with each other, and there was a suspicion that maybe they were bile each other. Therefore, even an Arusa and Yehuda would have to wait 3 months. Now, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol Anashim is Arsu. All women are allowed to go through Eretz right away without having to wait 3 months. Chutz min Almana, except for an Almana, a widow, Mipnei Ha'ibol, that's because of mourning. She has to wait a full month since she's an almana. Her husband passed away, so she has to wait a month for avelos, and only then she'd allow to become an arusa. So now we ask, ad kam hakaras ubar, how much time is hakaras ubar? Meaning, how much time from conception do we have to wait for hakaras ubar for us to be able to recognize that there's a vlad here? This is what we would call that a woman is showing already. How much time is that? Now, this then is not referring to our Mishnah. It has to do with hilchas nida. We know that a woman is tame when she's raya dam. She sees blood from her uterus, and this means that anything, such as food or drink, that she touches is now tameh. Now, with a regular woman, it's not from here and on that things are tameh. Actually, we are retroactively metameh these things because we assume that the blood was there before. However, there are women about whom the Mishnah says, daya shaitam. It's only from now and on when she sees the blood. From then, the things she touches are tameh. And that's because these women are called misulekas damim. They don't have regular menstrual blood, so any re'iyas dam is assumed to have happened only at that moment. Now, one of these is a mi'uberes, a pregnant woman. That that's what the question is that we just asked. From when do we say that she's considered pregnant, that she now has that din? And that's what we're calling Hakaras Ubar. So Zechel Rosh Hashanah, he says, Ashlash Chadashim, up until 3 months. And Alf Pishen Raila Davar, Zechel Davar, even though there isn't 100% proof, there's still some sort of mention of it in Pasuk. She remember the Pasuk says, by Yehuda, when he was with Tamar, his daughter-in-law, by he came Ashlash Chadashim, it was about 3 months. And then they told him, your daughter-in-law became pregnant. So we see in the Pasuk that's 3 months. And Reuven says, Afilu Uber's Ruach, even if a woman turned out to be pregnant with just a Ruach, which literally means a wind, she's not even pregnant with a regular fetus. It's just some sort of air that she has inside of her. Nonetheless, she's still considered Emu Uberes. And how do we know this? Because we have a Pasuk that says, Harinu Chalnu Kuma Yoladnu Ruach, we've conceived, we've had birth pangs. It's as if we've given birth to air. And so we see there's this concept of giving birth to air, so that's considered a real pregnancy. And another Pasuk tells us, Taru Chashash Teldu Kash, which literally means conceive, become pregnant with chaff. That's the stuff that's thrown away from the grain, and give birth to straw. So once again, we see that even though her pregnancy is not with a regular child, it's not with a real fetus, still it's considered a pregnancy. Now continue to discuss this from Zera Kotzer Baber Zotra and Amar of Chanina B'Shem Rav Chiya Rabba, that Afilu Ruba Shal Rishon V'Ruba Shal Achron V'Emtzai Shalem, that these 3 months we mentioned for Hakaras Ubar don't have to be 3 full months. They can even be the majority of the first month, the majority of the last month, and the middle month would be full. So say the majority of the first month would mean that she conceived on the 14th day of the month, just before the halfway mark. The majority of the last month would be day 16, and the entire middle month, so even though it's not a full 3 months, it's still considered 3 calendrical months because it's the majority of the months, and that's considered Hakaras Ubar. However, Rav Asi says that no, Tishim Yoyim Shleimin has to be 90 full days, and only then it's considered Hakaras Ubar. Chafayam Beis on top, Shmuel Amar, he says, Hein Iburehen, it's not only these 3 months, it's also their Ibar, which means their extended month, and we know that in Jewish calendar, we could have either a 29 or 30 day month, and so he's just emphasizing that we're talking about 3 months, it's 3 full 30-day months. That's a total of 90 days. And that's what we just said in the previous opinion as well, Shitas Rav Asi. And also of the Kumi Rabban Taman, there was a story that came to Rabbanov over there of Bavel, and there was an issue, the woman got married, and she gave birth just about 7 months after marriage, and they couldn't figure out how this happened. V'layadin, they didn't know, Im Shloisha Asamina Rishon V'Shiv Asamina Achrayin, was it 13 from the first month and 17 from the last month? Ay, Shiva Asamina Rishon U'Shloisha Asamina Achrayin, was it 17 from the first month and 13 from the last month? V'chamisha Shleimin Ba'emsa, and 5 whole ones in the middle, and Ubikshu Liga Bavlan Mishum Safik Mamzeros, they want to say this child is Safik Mamzer. In other words, just about 7 months after this woman got married, she had this baby, and they were so sure if she got married on the 13th of the month, then going to the end of that month, counting 5 full months later, going into the 7th month, did she have the baby on the 17th of the 7th month, and then that would be okay, because that would be 7 months. 5 full months in the middle, and then the majority of the first month, and the majority of the last month, because again, she got married on the 13th, and she had the baby on the 17th. So that would be okay. But maybe it was the other way around. Perhaps she got married on the 17th of the first month and she had a baby on the 13th of the last month. So that means that the first and last months were actually not the majority of the month. And then the only way that would be possible is if she was Mizana before she got fully married. And then the child would be a mamzer. However, Amarlin Rav Nachum Yaakov told them, Kohen Ovda also Kumi Ab Barba. Such a story came to Ab Barba, who by the way is Shmuel's father, as we're going to find out in a moment. Va'achshiru, and he said the child's perfectly fine. So the Gemara asks, Ab Barba, Palagal Shmuel Berei? Does Ab Barba argue on Shmuel his son? Shmuel says that Hakaras Ubar is a full 90 days, which we're understanding to mean that if Hakaras Ubar is a full 90 days, so pregnancy would have to go a full 7 months times 30 days. So we can't have a shortened pregnancy. In this situation, that would mean that the woman was Mizaneh. So Amarav, he explains that no, Amarav is not arguing with his son Shmuel. Shani hi Hakaras Ubar, shani hi Leidasai. There's a difference between Hakaras Ubar, which is the beginning of the pregnancy, and the Leida, the childbirth. Hakaras Ubar l'chadashim shleimen. When we're talking about Hakaras Ubar, the recognition of the child, when is it that she's considered officially Mu'uberes, then we have to have full 3 months. That would be a total of 90 days. That's what Shmuel said. But V'leidasai, in terms of child being born, L'chadashim Mekutayin, the child could be born shortened months, which is what we had just said before, and we had discussed this extensively a number of daf ago as well, namely that once we have a Hakaras Ubar, that has to take place only by Chadashim Shleimim. We have to have full months, but the Leida, the birth, that could be even shortened months, which is how this woman could have given birth to a perfectly fine child, even though it was less than 7 full months after a marriage. Continue discussing these dinim. Tamantanin over there, we learned the Mishnah. Kami Kishuya. How much is her Kishuy? This has to do with right before childbirth. We know that if a woman sees Dam for 3 days straight, even if it's not her regular time to see, she's considered a Zava Gedayla, and she's Tami until she has 7 clean days. And we're not going to get into all the details of why that's relevant. That's just the basic idea over here. However, it's not so when she's in labor. This is called Kishuy Leida. Labor blood is not Metame her. That's because it's clearly from the labor and doesn't make her a Zava. So that's what we say in this Mishnah. Kami Kishuya. How much is her kishui, meaning how much time before she gives birth are we able to say that this blood that she's seeing is because of dam kishui, it has to do with her labor and has nothing to do with Dam Ziva. So Rav Meir says, Afilo 45 yom, even 40 or 50 days before she ends up giving birth, that's all considered Dam Kishu Leida, all part of the birth process. Whereas Rabbi Hudaimer, he says, Dai Chadasha, her month is sufficient. And Rabbi Yisrael Shimon Aimer, they say, In Kishu Yisrael Mishte Shabbosais, we can't consider a Dam Kishu Leida more than 2 weeks before childbirth. Rabbi Yisrael says, Mishin Rav Ba, Zoysa Meres, this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda tells us that Shaisha Yulad Zulchadasha Mikutayin, that a woman is able to give birth with shortened months, meaning she doesn't have to carry the baby to the full end of the last month. Why? Deloichen, because if not so, Nisni Shloshim Yaim. Rabbi Yehuda should have said, 30 days before she gives birth, we attribute that blood to Dam Kishrei Leida. But he didn't say that. He used the word Chadasha, a month. And that means even if the month is shortened, it's Mikuta. It's still considered Dam Leida, and so that's a Raya. However, Yisra Bun says, Rabbi Sherva, the exact opposite. Zaisar Meres, what do we see from Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? Sheisha Yeledes Chadashim Shleiman, that a woman's only able to give birth with full months. Why is that the Taninin? Because what Rabbi Yehuda say? Daya Chadasha, that her month is sufficient. He could have just said Daya Chodesh, a month is sufficient, but he didn't say a month, he said her month. Her month is mashma, full month of 30 days. So we have two different opinions of how to understand what Rabbi Yehuda said. But our Rabbi Yehuda and Bayi, Rabbi Yehuda asked the following, and this is a question on the first Shita, this is Rabbi Yaisa, B'Shem Rava, how he tried to medayek, that a woman is able to give birth, L'Chadasha Mikutayin, because Rabbi Yehuda didn't use the Lashon of Shloshim Yaim. So here's Rabbi Yehuda's question, Saif Davar Achetelid, is it ultimately that we're only going to attribute blood that she has to Dam Kishri Leida if she gives birth to a viable child? That's Achetelid. Loi, that's not so. Afilui Pila, even if she's mapil her vlad, even if she miscarries, we're still going to attribute that blood to Dam Kishri Leida. And that's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda couldn't use the Lashon of Shloshim Yaim, because Rabbi Yehuda was really addressing two separate things. It's very possible that a woman, when she gives birth to a viable child, that's only Chadashim Shleiman. It has to be a full term pregnancy, ending that month off with a full 30 days. It's just that if she's mapil her vlad in the middle of the ninth month, the blood that she saw during that whole process is also going to be considered Dam Kishrei Leida. It's just that when she's mapil the vlad, that might happen in the ninth month, meaning before the end of the 30 days. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda couldn't say Shloshim Yaim, and he had to say Chadasha, her month. Because again, he was addressing both of those cases. So this refutation to Rabbi Yaisa's understanding of what Rabbi Yehuda said. Now Rav Mana says, Shamas B'Shem Shmuel, I heard in the name of Shmuel that he akars ubar, he lay dasai. That akars ubar, the amount of time it takes to recognize the child, to see that she's pregnant, and at the end of the pregnancy, the birth, that's the same thing. It has to be chadashim shleimim, full months, but blessing a yadam in mashamas, I don't know who I heard it from. Now Rabbi Arkain, kumi Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Arkain said in front of Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Yirmiya Amra, Rabbi Yirmiya was the one that said it. However, Amr Rav Chizkiya told him, let Amr Rav Yirmiya didn't say that. And the reason why Rav Chizkiya is saying this is because he was a Talmud of Rabbi Yirmiya, and he never heard it from Rav Chizkiya. However, because of that, the Ikud of Rabbi Yaisi Lekible, Rabbi Yaisi was upset towards him, and Amr Lehi told him as follows, Shekein afilu Yeshua Shahaya Kashra L'Maisha Loi Amar Kain. Even Yeshua, referring to Yeshua ben Nun, he was so connected to Maisha Rabbeinu, the Pasuk says, Yeshua Nar Loi Yom Shemitai Ha'ayel, Yeshua never left the tent. He was a Talmud Mavik of Maisha Rabbeinu, and he virtually never left his side, and he never would have said such a thing like that he didn't hear Allah like that from Maisha, because it is very possible that there was at least some short point of time during the day that he wasn't with Maisha Rabbeinu, and it's possible that Maisha said halacha then that Yeshua didn't hear. And Ba'at Amar Kain, you're saying this about Rabbi Yirmiya? Rabbi Yirmiya never said this din. How could you say that? So Chazva Amar, Rabbi Chizkiya went back and explained that in the Amra, yes, Rabbi Yirmiya did say this. El, rather, how did he say it? Ke'inish to Shama Milo Makshele, he expressed it in a way that a person hears something and he's asking on it, meaning he was saying it in a surprised tone. Dahainu, this is the way he had related over. Did Shmuel really say that Hakaras Ubar and Leidasai are the same thing? And the reason why Shmuel couldn't have said that is because of Abrava, Palaga Shmuel Berei, would Abrava argue with Shmuel his son? Abrava didn't say that. He said differently. He had said, as we learn at the top of the Amud, which is the way we explained it, so that it's not a machloik as father and son, Abrava and Shmuel, even though Hakaras Ubar has to be full months, the Leida doesn't have to be full months. Now, can you discuss this? Rabbi Brecha says, Hashem Shmuel, La'aylam, Eino Isha Yeledes. A woman will always give birth only the following ways. Oylam Asayim Shem Ve'echad, after 271 day pregnancy, Chafaf Amraf on top. Oylam Asayim Shem Mushnaim, Oylam Asayim Shem Mushleisha, Oylam Asayim Shem Ve'arba, or 272, 273, or 274 days. Now, how do we get this Cheshbin? So 9 months times 30 days is 270. However, a woman might not give birth to 70. That's because it could be that she's going to conceive 1, 2, 3, or maybe even 4 days after being with her husband. So that would be 271, 72, 73, or perhaps even 74 days. Normally, Rav Mana told him, Minan Shama Rabbi Hadam Elsa, from where do you hear this thing? So Amalei told him, Min Rabba, from Rabba himself. Ask the Gemara, how could this be? M'chav Shitas Rabba, this is Stir and Shitas Rabba. Taman Hu Amar, over there, he said, meaning on the previous Amalei, he said, Shani Akars Ubar, Shani Hilei Dasai. Then Akars Ubar, and the birth of it is different. different, as we had just said, and we explained before, that a karas ubar, you're right, has to be 3 full months, and that's a total of 90 days, as opposed to the leida, the birth, doesn't have to be full months. It could be chadashim ikotayim. But v'hachar amar hachin, over here he's saying this, over here you're telling me that Rabbah himself is saying that a pregnancy does have to go full term, it has to be a full 9 months times 30 days, that's a stira in Rabbah himself. So Rabbi Arba Zisha says, b'shem Shmuel, explaining, and here's the proper gear, so pay attention, kol shehu beharba, harehu be'arba. Anything that fits under the category of harba, it fits under arba. So this has to do with Parshas Bereishis. When Hashem told Chava that harba arba, it's v'neich v'harineich, I will surely or greatly increase your suffering and your pregnancy. And what relevance does it have to do with over here? The answer is that harba is gematria 212, 212 days, meaning if we have a pregnancy that lasts 212 days, so then arba, I will increase it. In other words, that will be a viable pregnancy. The Hainu, this din that Rav Bah had said that we explained on the previous Amud, that even though Hakaras Ubar is full, the Leida doesn't have to be full. That's specifically talking about a Leida of 7 months. Namely, when you have a 7 month pregnancy, that's 7 months times 30 days, which is 210. And the reason why we're using Lashon of 212 over here is because it could be that the woman conceived a little bit after being with her husband. So that would be up till 212 days. We're not going to get the specific Hashman of why Dafka 212. The bottom line is we're talking about a 7 month pregnancy. And the idea is that once we can determine that it's a 7 month pregnancy, that's going to be viable. It's going to be arba. It's going to be a good, solid pregnancy. And that's even if it's limikutayim, it doesn't go the full 210 or 212 days, and she gives birth earlier, that's okay, that's fine, it's not a problem, it's still going to be viable. But again, that's only referring to a 7 month pregnancy, not 9 month. Where we're holding right now, at least, is that a 9 month pregnancy does have to go full term for full 30 day months. That would be a total of 270 days. So there's no stira, Rav Bon himself. Working stopper for the day, and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this just in regards to animals. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.